we go. So this is our last class of the Emmaus Road Journey, and we have had a wonderful journey, I believe. It's been really Jesus, and it's been wonderful being with you guys because of your hearts for the Lord and your love and desire for Jesus, and I believe that's one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit has been so dear to us during these gatherings, because your hearts have been so hungry, and he loves hungry hearts. He just loves it. So praise God. There's several places I could have taught from towards the end of the book that deal with basic hunger and knowing of the Lord, the revelation of Christ, on and on. We have covered what the revelation of Christ is in relation to the subject matter of this course. But I felt the Holy Spirit kind of landing upon the area of the deep search, which is a subtitle on page 69 of my Christ is Life manual. So I know it's different in your booklets. But it's one of the last chapters of the book. It's under the chapter of desire and pressing in. And I'm just going to read a little bit from the book under that subtitle, and then I'm going to read some more from another book, and I believe that we're just going to hear the Lord's heart. And the deep search, it comes after the place of, okay, page 61 if you have the booklet. Well, let's start actually right before that under the place of desire and determination. It's just the page before. And I'm just going to read here, and I believe the Lord's going to speak to our hearts. And encourage us and challenge us and leave us with a note of continuing on this journey and not just ending a class. So let's begin with the first paragraph under the place of desire and determination. What makes the difference between one who nominally seeks the Lord and one who has a passion for Jesus? The difference lies in the condition of the heart. Desire is indispensable to knowing the Lord, for it will draw out the heart and push it to go deeper. However, desire is not all that is required. There are many who desire the Lord and sit around sighing and longing for him, but never do anything about it. Therefore, another requirement needed is a determined heart. It is true that we are insufficient in ourselves to reach God through works of human effort, but on our part, there must be a determined heart. Jesus himself encourages us to ask, seek, and knock. There are many examples of those whose desire was mingled with determination to lay hold of the Lord. And some examples here is King David, Samuel, Joshua, and the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon. I'm going to stop right there, and we're going to go over to the next section, which is entitled The Deep Search, and I'm going to start reading at the first paragraph there now. God created man and put within him a built-in hunger for the things of God. If someone does not point him to a greater depth of Christ, he will continue in religion. Christ is the real answer to that hunger. Man wants answers, so he turns to mysticism or philosophy. These kinds of knowledge give explanations, but no answers. The main feature that the Emmaus Road Journey presents to us is the opportunity to know the Lord in deeper ways than we have before. However, there are some believers who are either content with their present knowing of him, or they are afraid of what going deeper might entail. They are afraid of launching out into the unknown or moving into areas that are over their heads. When Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, he had to face that fear within himself. But Jesus is always there to catch those who begin to sink, for he is happy that someone would risk leaving the shallow boat to get closer to himself. Even so, when we consider the depths of Christ, we may consider with fear the things that could go wrong. Now, I think this is important now, this next part of the sentence. But there are dangers involved with remaining in the shallows. Those who sail near the shore among shallow waters are in danger of running aground or striking the rocks because of the lack of deepness. It is only those who have launched out in the deep seas that find true safety. Like Peter, we will push past our fears when we understand the true result of going deeper. Okay, we're going to keep reading, but I love that when it says there are dangers involved in remaining in the shallows, because one of the greatest motivations that keeps us from launching out into the depths is fear. And what is the fear? You know, when you look at a big old ocean, what would you be afraid of if you were considering launching out into the deep, into the... What? I'm going to lose my life. There's one. Yes, that's it. I heard sharks. You know, things that lurk in the deep, in the great depths. Yes, Leviathan. Yes. But, you know, we never really think about the dangers that are involved in remaining in the shallows. And I just really feel a pause, like, in my spirit there. And, you know, for us, a lot of times, the thought of going deeper is almost like, for men, it may be the challenge of getting more spiritual. I mean, I'm not putting this on anyone. I'm just saying mankind, but the male gender, you know, is competitive. And women, it can be that way too. Adam is that way. The old nature is that way. But for some, it may be just, I want to go deeper because the deep sailors are the true sailors, and they have the stories, and they have the rank among others, or they have the clout. They have, you know, you don't want to be a wimp that just picks up shells on the seashore. You want to have your big trophy fish, you know what I mean? Put it on the wall. I got this in the deep, man, you know? You want to have your trophy sermon, you know? I got this from the deep, man. I'm not preaching basic salvation, see, you know, little seashore stuff here. I got this way out there now. You know, competition, clout, title. You know, those things we hear the depths and we go, oh, I want to be deep. I want to be a deeper life, deep, deep, deep guru of God. You know? And our pride or our competition or our, all these other things can get drawn out into these dangerous waters, and that's really not the motivation. Others may go, you know, it's exciting in the deep. There's mystery and intrigue and, oh, neat fish that I wouldn't see on the shore. I don't know, you know, things like that, or my life is boring on the shore. I want this or that, you know. We can be motivated to go out into the depths for lots of reasons. And we can also be, just like we were discussing, we can be discouraged from going out into the depths for all these reasons of fear and different things. But the reality is there's a whole other realm, a whole other purpose for going out into the deep beyond our carnal motivations, whether they be fear or desire. We have our set of reasons as humans. But God has his set of reasons as God. And God's reasons are awesome and cool and inspiring and gathering. And we're going to look at some of those, and we're going to look at them in the scriptures as well. But the shallows can be dangerous. You don't want to stay too long there. There's a lot there that you're lacking. There's a lot there that can happen. And in the depths, there's a place of being in the Lord. Yes, you're not as in control in the depths as you are on the shallows, right? You lose control when you're in the middle of a gigantic ocean. I mean, if there is ever anything to me that will just inspire the power of God, the greatness of God, is if you go to the ocean and you just watch those waves carry everything in its tide, in its current. You're not going to be able to withstand that force on your own as a human. It is greater than man. It will carry you in its course. You can't change that course. And you just see how awesome God is. It's just so vast. It's just wonderful. It's wonderful. But it's frightening because it's so much bigger than we are that we could just get swallowed up of it, just totally swallowed up, where it's going to take us where it wants to take us. It's going to hold us in what it is. And we can't put the depths of the ocean into the palm of our hand, can we? We can put a rock from the shore in the palm of our hand. We can bring that rock back to our house, put it on a shelf, on the ocean shelf, And that can be our collection of things from the ocean. And we can go to bed at night in our bed and with our air conditioning at a certain level and have our life. You see what I mean? With tokens of spirituality on our shelf. But if you want to be immersed in God, if you want to find the life of God where it carries you and covers you, protects you, fills you, you're going to have to launch out, man. You're going to have to go where you're not in control anymore. And you might call that scary, but there's something much scarier than that, and that's you being in control in the shallows without the resources to handle what this life offers. In the depth, the resource of God is without measure, and you're swallowed up of it. He holds you. He carries you. He raises you up. He brings you down. You are in a oneness with the motions of his life. In the shallows, you're in control, and I'll tell you, the air there may be more familiar and the environment more natural to us in our old condition. It's dangerous. When we are in control, it's dangerous. When we're the head, when we're the one who makes the decisions, when we're the one who makes the provisions, when we're the one who orders all things, that is a recipe for disaster. But it's much more appealing to us because it feels safe. Isn't that right? And so something has to draw us not just out from the shallows, but out from ourselves, where we're willing to just go, I want to know the Lord in a way where I am immersed, where he carries me, where he's in control, where he is the head, where the current of life flows and takes me where it will. And that is a real place in the spirit, a real place in our heart, a real place in our determination where we make a decision. Am I going to launch out or am I going to, have you ever been on the high dive at a swimming pool? And you had to make that decision as you're standing on the end of the diving board. Am I going to jump or am I going to stay up here and go back down the ladder? I personally always chose to go back down the ladder. I did. It scared me. But, you know, there's that point in our spiritual walk where we go, man, am I going to jump in? Or am I just into the unknown? Or am I going to just go back to the familiar ladder down to the ground where it's all safe? But the Spirit of God knows what we have not yet known of God. Because why? Because he searches out the deep things of God, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He searches out he knows what's in those deeps. That's where he swims. That's where he moves. That's his natural environment, searching out the deep things of God, bringing them to us, showing us, revealing Christ. And so this is a great environment for him. But to gather up a heart that wants to be with him on that journey, it takes preparation of heart, determination of heart, steadfastness of heart to say, I'm going to do this now. I'm going to do it. And but oh, is it ever worth it? It's so worth it. And if we continue on this journey of knowing Christ in his resurrected life, in his fullness, we have to launch out into the deeps, because the one we're joined to now, the one who is the head of the body that we are in resurrection, he's beyond an ocean. He is, the heavens of the heavens could not contain his fullness. And yet we are the temple wherein he dwells. We are the body where his life is made manifest. And so the one who we've partaken of now in resurrection is vast. Oh my, oh my. And to know him who is our life, to truly know him and have him formed, it is going to require a launching out. Why? Because he's carried you into a place where his life is all in and all. In reality, he's taken you into the depths of those depths when he rose you up from among the dead and seated you in heavenly places, made you one. He already took you into that place of being totally joined to him in all his fullness. But for us to access that, for us to discover and awaken and partake of and manifest and flow in oneness with the depths of who he is, that requires a launching out. And we leave ourselves on the shore. We leave life as we knew it. We leave the familiar. We leave the way we used to exist. We leave the things that we understood, the things that we could control. We leave them all on the shore, on the sand, you know, that is not yet on a rock. And we take that step of faith, and we set our sails, and we take the anchor from our boat, and we remove it from the shore, and we begin to go out. And that's part of the heart that really wants to know the Lord. And, you know, deep things, and I think we've heard this a lot, it's not heavy truths that you know, are super spiritual things that we can tend to call depths. But it's knowing God on a level that is beyond our five senses. And it's knowing God on a level of knowing him in his nature, where only the Holy Spirit can reveal him in us and to us. The scriptures tell us that we are able to see his wonders in the deep. That's Psalm 107, verse 24. Once a person has a determined heart, he must decide in what manner he will pursue the Lord. Psalm 36:6 tells us that God's judgments are like a great deep. How do we enter into the great depths of God? What is the path that we should take? And once again, the first piece of the puzzle is found in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. There we find it is the Spirit who searches even the depths of God. And that's once again 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. And what does that mean? It means that to launch out into those depths is going to require a new relationship and dependency on the Holy Spirit. It's almost like being filled with the Holy Spirit again. You go, you are now the one I rely upon to take me where I need to go, because I don't even know how to get there. I don't even know what it is, how to swim, where I'm going. You know, you have searched out the deep things of God. You bring that to my heart that I might also dwell and know him in oneness there. So there's a whole new relationship with the Holy Spirit, one of dependence. Dependence on how are we going to exist in union with Christ and know him who is our life. He's going to take us. He's going to show us. It's a beautiful relationship, and he is so faithful. He is so very, very faithful to do that. And so we begin to cast ourselves upon him in a new way, the Holy Spirit, relying upon him. I'm just going to read some things now that are from some old notes of mine. And they're just thoughts. And if you have a comment or a thought, just let me know. Once again, it's our last class, so I just really want there to be a communion of heart here in all that the Lord has been stirring up within us and working in us during this time we've been together. Where do we live? Can we be tossed to and fro with every wind that blows over the surface of the water? Is what we once thought to be of great depth able to be blown down with the power of a storm? If we go low enough, these surface disturbances will not cause our entire house to fall down, but instead we will find ourselves being rooted into the deep and unchangeable realities of God's person. Tossed to and fro comes from being found in ourselves rather than lost in God. There are many movements that occur upon the surface of the waters. Here we find so many things to get caught up in amid the waves, with exciting ups and sudden letdowns. But further down beneath the surface, it becomes still and quiet. Movements that occur in these waters are vast and stir from a place far nearer to the heart of Jesus than the surface is trembling. Jesus' own disciples resembled these lively waters, for outward events often caused a flurry of activity among them. But there is one who found rest in the bosom of Jesus. Even as John, we must come away from all the external surroundings and press into Jesus' heart so that we can know him as those who are in him and one with his nature. Indeed, this will require a greater stepping out on our part. So there's two pictures that paragraph kind of invokes, and one is this flurry of activity on the surface. And, you know, one of the terms you hear a lot is, what's the next wave of the Spirit? There's this exciting thing going on. It can be something happening in church, something God's doing in our lives, an outreach, a Bible study, ministry. I don't know. It can be all these different things that can just really stir us up on the surface and get those waves moving. And it could be so exciting to ride that wave. You know what I mean? Or just exhilarating, or at least it can give us a sense of being busy and purposeful and about the excitement of the kingdom of God. Do you know what I mean? Surfing on that wave for Jesus with the movement of the Holy Spirit, it's exciting. You know what I'm saying? It's like, man, the Spirit's moving. It's carrying me places. God's doing things in the earth. I am a part of it. I am stirred up. God is stirring up people. This is so cool. You know, and then the wave goes down, and there's this kind of letdown, and you kind of wait for the next wave to pick your emotions up and stir your heart for Jesus up and make things worthwhile again. And you get on that wave, and you ride it out, and things are great and exciting, and it's almost like a drug. You get high for a while on the things of God and being a part of all the activity and the hustle and the bustle and the excitement, and then the wave goes down, and you wait for the next one. Well, That's fine on one sense, because the Lord is moving by His Spirit on the surface of the water. And that's not bad, because it's the Lord moving by His Spirit. But there is a deeper relationship that He longs to have with His body and His bride. And He calls her into that relationship so that He might more fully possess her heart, might more fully take her into who He really is. Now, under the surface of those very same waves, there's not a lot of activity. You're not feeling the wind blow on your face and the surf kind of misting on you, and you're not seeing the exhilarating seagulls and I'm just thinking of Ireland and where they go surfing. I mean, it's just breathtaking. I mean, it's just phenomenal. It's just like, talk about exhilarating. And you're seeing these amazing things, and you're feeling this excitement and this thrill, and the wave is carrying you, and it's just exhilarating. But, you know, you have to go back every morning to the beach and find your waves. And, you know, surfers will chase a storm or wherever they can find a good wave just to get on that raid. And why they need to find a wave to ride, or it's just not a good day. And so you can spend your life waiting for the good waves, so you can get on that wave for a few moments and ride it. But we can do that too. I'm waiting for the good wave. I'm waiting for the good wave out of the Word of God. I'm waiting for the good wave in my ministry, in my church, in this relationship. And that, I mean, it can be anything that excites and exhilarates us and moves us outside of a deep inward oneness with God. Okay? None of these things are bad, but when it's time to launch out, they are hindering us from going where God's calling us. See what I mean? They're not evil. They're not wrong. God is in them. God uses them. But they're not where we were meant to live, right? And we can begin to feel that tendency in ourselves, the ups and the downs, of riding the surface waves. You can feel it in your being. But in the deep, there's not a lot of excitement in that sense. There's not a lot of activity in that sense, but there's this incredible stability. There's this incredible security. There's this incredible continuedness of just being one. And there's a massive amount of just stable reality that you are one with. You never leave it down there. It's your place. It's your life. Well, it may not be as exciting as wave riding, but it's much more real. It's much more eternal. It's much more bedrock, firm, founded, truly abiding in oneness at all times. And that relationship is where God has gathered us in when He brought us into His eternal Son. He didn't set us a skin on His body, you know, just to kind of feel this and that. He made us in Christ. He brought us into the depths of who Jesus is. We are immersed into His being. We are one with Him. We're not just His ministers who He sends on errands to do exciting back and forth trips from His throne room. See what I mean? Ride this mission out on your horse to that destination. Come back and I'll give you another wave to ride, another errand to run, another thing to do for My glory. Now that could be a really exciting existence, especially when you're in the service of the King. But when you've been raised up as the body of Jesus, the eternal Son of God, your relationship with Him isn't as a servant running to and fro in the earth for Him. You're in Him. You're in Him. You're in the depths of his being. You're one with this eternal Son of God. And that's your place. But to find that place, there has to be a willingness to leave that as your identity. You can't leave your obligations and responsibilities and the things that are Christ for you to be faithful to in the earth. I mean, you don't just abandon your post. You do your responsibilities faithfully and heartily as unto the Lord, with all your heart, by the Lord. You can't forsake that, but you don't find your identity in it anymore. See the difference? You don't put your heart there. Build your relationship with God based on those things. You do them because God has given us things to be responsible for, and you do them by the Lord, as unto the Lord. But you don't make that your relationship with Jesus. Your relationship with Jesus is much deeper than that, much more eternal, much more solid and real than anything that we could do outwardly for him, with him, and by him. There's a place that is much more eternal and deep than that, and that's in Christ. And so we've got to launch out there. Will you launch out? And this is something that Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 5. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Launching out can simply be understood as allowing our hearts to become open for the Holy Spirit to share and bring forth Christ in ways we have not yet known. It can feel safe and comfortable to remain in waters we have already possessed, yet love for God will motivate some to respond to the needs and longings of his heart. As we launch out to know Christ more fully, we will cast ourselves into the Word of God so completely it will cause us to emerge from the washing changed. If we stay immersed in the Word, then we will become saturated and prepared by the Holy Spirit for God to unveil his Son in us. And so there is a launching out into the depths involves a launching out into the Word of God in a whole new way. We begin to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. We begin to saturate in the waters of the Word. And in the Scriptures, the waters of the Scriptures are represented by the water of the Word. So there's a whole new abandonment and consecration to give ourselves to the Word of God, to be immersed in the Word of God, to position our heart and our time and our being in a place where the Holy Spirit can meet us in those depths, filled up with water. Up to this point, we have considered what is deep in God, which is his nature. But to fully go deeper in the Lord, we have to allow him to saturate us so much with his Word that he can begin to replace us with his Son. And that takes a real saturation. A movement of the Lord in a church service is just like the Pool of Bethesda. We can be touched at the Pool of Bethesda, you know, at a church service where we're healed or touched or God meets a need or gives an answer or moves in some kind of outward way, like a wave of his presence or of his power. But when you want the Son revealed in you, you've got to go to the Pool of Siloam, and you've got to immerse yourself in this eternal Son who is your life now. And that immersion doesn't just happen one day. I'm going to walk up to my Word and just wash some dirt out of my eyes and see Jesus, and that's it. There is a launching out into the depths of the Word that requires just a continual abandonment to the Scriptures for a season until you are like a clay pot, you know, in the wedding of Cana, filled up to the brim with water, that at any time the Holy Spirit can begin to transform that and bring forth Christ, make that new wine fill you with Jesus. But this is really important for us as we continue on. And it's not something that we can earn. It's not something that we can mentally figure out, but it's a heart condition first, where we just begin to abandon ourselves to the Scripture and trust the Holy Spirit is going to begin to open up the depths, the deep places, the heart of God, the eternal relationship, the person that we're joined to, not just his movements, not just his activities or, you know, there's an abandonment to that. And I think that that's something that even when these disciples came back to Jerusalem, they still maintained a hunger and a desire to not break with the relationship that they found on the Emmaus Road. Something in them, you know, said, listen, I am not going to forsake this way of being in oneness with the risen Son. I'm not going to I'm not going to go back into religion. I'm not going to go back into my old ways. I want to stay in the place of oneness with the risen Son. I want my life to be flooded, to be filled, to be living water, fresh water, channels of life, you know, rivers of living water, a place where the risen Son can make manifest his risen life. And that requires a continuation in the Lord. And just look here at this other little book I had. You know, sometimes we are launched into the deep just circumstantially. We get set in situations that just kind of carry us where we would not go. And we're in depths that are out beyond our measure. And at that point, we can make ourselves a lifeboat and paddle back to shore. And we can, Adam is capable of doing this in all of us. Make a little lifeboat, we'll figure out a way to do it, and paddle back to shore and find safety. Or we can, you know, like Jonah, get swallowed up in the belly of the whale and not get out of that deep situation till we're raised up from the dead, man. I mean, you either get swallowed up with the whale or you just make yourself a lifeboat and paddle back to shore. But when you're launched out into the deep by the hand of God, go down into it, man. Just sink down in. Go down to the bottom of the sea and take your place in his death and burial and resurrection. Yes.
I just was getting like a picture of like the seashore. Like most oftentimes you let your kids play right there at the edge of the water. Because it's like a, you know, it's, there might be some danger involved in it for, you know, where they're at with things, but you know, the only thing bad that could happen would be through an accident. You know, like if you were in the water right there, you can, even if you got tired or whatever, you know, and your own strength was removed, you just fall on the shore and the water would just splash up against you. But the further out you go, I mean, even in the, you know, the area where the waves are, where you'd actually be catching waves, there is a, I mean, even at that point, I mean, you're, you know, like a teenager or whatever, you allow your teenagers to go out there. And when the teenager goes out there, again, I mean, death there is going to be like an accident. I mean, because you can still really paddle back to shore, you know, right away back to shore, whatever the case. But the deep waters, that's something different. I'm just going to read what I wrote down. It says, but in the deep waters, salvation comes from God. There is no consideration of death. We are abandoned to him, and death has no power. I mean, there wouldn't be a reason to go out into the deep waters. I mean, you don't see people just floating around in the middle of the ocean. If you find yourself out in the deep waters, it's because that's where you desire.
It's like putting yourself in the way of the cross. Because you're saying, either God's going to raise me up, and it's going to be Christ, because I don't float in these waters. Either God's going to raise me up, or I, you know, that's it. But even when Peter just put his little foot outside that boat and started sinking, Jesus was faithful to catch him. I mean, Jesus is going to, he's not going to let us drown out there. He's right there the whole way, watching over us, closer than we'd ever imagine he's in us, but the care of God is ever upon us. But there are certain steps of faith that we have to make in order to apprehend Christ as our life, and one of these steps is to launch out into the deep. And I think that is exhilarating. Yes, it's terrifying, but it is exhilarating because, my God, God our Father gave us his Son to this degree, and this is just a shadow and type of the fullness of Christ that we are meant to become partakers of through union. Hallelujah, why would I want to stay on the shallows when I could partake of this Jesus? I want him in all fullness. And God is saying, go for it. Launch out. I mean, have you ever been on a trip where you wanted to do something really exciting, like, I don't know, go, what is that, rapid river riding or whatever, and you knew your parents would say no, and then all of a sudden they said yes, and you couldn't believe it? You're like, I can go rapid river racing. I don't know the name of it. But this is even better than that. God, I want to know your son in the vast eternal depths of his person where only the Holy Spirit swims, who is the third person of the God. Can I know him there? And God, if I do that, I mean, I'm going to die probably. I mean, that's it for me, man. I'm going to take the jump. And you're waiting for God to say, oh, don't do that. Live safely. Use discretion. This is not the wise thing to do. This isn't the proper measure. Live orderly. This is not orderly. God goes, launch out. I've been waiting for you to ask. Hey, this is my plan for you. He's jumping for joy. He's like, oh, yeah. Let the good times roll, because I got things in the depths for you that you ain't never going to get on the shallows. Things in my son is your life that you will never find riding some exciting wave. Better than that, eternal depths, stable regions of oneness that you have yet to know. I have prepared for you from before the foundation of the earth. Who's going to come? Know me there. Oh, he is excited. Hallelujah. Our dad is not afraid. He created the heavens and the earth. He created the solar systems and the galaxies. He created everything with one purpose, for us to know his son. My goodness, nothing's going to prevent him from allowing you to go as deep into Christ as you want to. Nothing, nothing is greater than the desire that God has for you to know his son in oneness. Not his desire for you to make everything perfect in your life. Not his desire for you to be perfectly responsible for every detail on the shore. He has one thing in his heart from before the foundation of the entire created universe, and that is that someone, somebody, some group of people would know his son in the depths and the reality of who he eternally is and join with him there. Do you think he's going to let anything stop that from happening? I'd say your odds are better jumping into the depths than hanging out on the shore trying to be careful. You're way more in tune with God who controls everything out there than out here on your own. Holding on for dear life, making sure you got it all holding together. All things consist by him. All things in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth. All things consist by him. He holds all things together. That's the Christ who is in the depths, who is the life of the body, the head of the body, the fullness of the body. That's the one you're launching into, the one who holds everything together. But we say, no, I want to be the one who's holding everything together. I trust me. I don't know what to say. Don't trust you. You're not trustworthy. You're not trustworthy. I don't care how good you are. You're not trustworthy. You're going to mess up. Just give it over to God. It being you, give yourself over to God. Surrender in his massive ocean of Christ. And be swallowed up of life. And find out what resurrection feels like. And if you fall into deep, dark places where whales and sharks are, God, your Father, is the one who raises Jesus out from among the dead. You're going to experience resurrection. You're going to experience such glory and communion and eternal life out there that you never could even dream existed on the seashore. Oh, the colors. The prism will show you that that's the Holy Spirit who is the prism. Oh, the colors he has in the depths. There's fish in the deep places that the colors of no man has seen on the shore. But those fish are just that Jesus in revelation, knowing the Lord and all of his fullness and his multifaceted person and all the colors of his being, all the essences and shades. Oh, the Holy Spirit goes crazy in the depths. That's where he can really show you Christ. That's where all the things he wants to show you about Christ are. In the depths of his person, in the inward parts, in the motivations and the intents and the place where only those who say, I want to be one with Jesus in his nature find. I want to be one with Jesus in his movements on the waves. One with Jesus in his ministry. That's fine, but all those waves are moved by something that's much deeper than the surface. They're moved by the heavens. The tides come from the moon. And some moved by things deep within, like earthquakes, tsunamis, and all those great movements of water like tsunami. They come from earthquakes underneath. See the heavens, God in resurrection, the depths, the eternal Christ in the deep. Those are the things that make the waves that you love. You won't have to forsake your wave, but you'll be living in the source. You'll be living by the source that holds everything together and produces everything that the surface experiences. Yes, you'll have wonderful surface experiences of Christ, but you will be dwelling in the deep places from whence they all came. And when they're done and when the wave goes down, you're living in the same stable relationship with God as you were on the height of that wave. That's what he wants for you. That's what he has for you. Remember when Scott shared about the girl who had those pearls and she wouldn't give them away because they were so precious? And the father just waited and said, I have got real pearls for you, but you got to hand over. God has something so much better for us than even the best thing that we have experienced of him in our walk. We're not condemning or putting down what has come before. God himself is grateful for that, and he delights himself in all the steps we've taken of faith, in the ways we have known him and loved him and served him. But he's saying there's more. And now that Jesus is risen from the dead, there's a endless ocean of more, all waiting for whosoever will launch out, cast their net in the deep. That's us. That's for us. That call is coming from God for us. And the little foxes, the enemies that keep us from this, are our own fears of the unfamiliar. Don't listen to them. You know what? When the fears of the unfamiliar come, that Holy Spirit's right there in the other ear saying, trust in God, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, heart hath not comprehended the things God has prepared for you. Come away, my love. Launch out. We got a whole universe, a whole eternal, endless lifetime of knowing Christ in a place you never even dreamed of. In him, in the depths of him, in his true eternal person. That's God's call to us. Certainly that doesn't end at the end of the Emmaus Road journey. Certainly that doesn't end when we die or finish Bible school or at the end of a church service. That never ends. That's how big this ocean is. It says it in Ephesians. Endless ages, unsearchable riches of the risen Christ to whom we are now joined. That's ours. That's ours. Who will say no to religion? Who will say no to wave surfing and identification? Who will trade all that in to know him in a place where God himself holds everything together, lifts us up in the oneness of his Son, brings us down when it's time to die, raises us up when it's time to rise? God himself orders the seasons there. God himself orders the climate. Christ is the life there, not just the movements of it on the surface. So how does that sound for the continuation of our journey? We can't meet anymore because the semester's over. But our journey is not over. I know that the Lord is speaking this to our hearts. He's speaking it to our heart, and he wants to get you excited. He wants an eternal excitement. He wants to ignite your heart. And listen, I just want to speak this word of encouragement to you. Do not be distracted from this. The waves, they come and the waves, they go. The waves, they rise and the waves, they fall. Do not squander your time on the waves if it's your season to launch out. Be careful. You commit yourself where God has you to commit. You give yourself to where God has you to serve. You be faithful to the Lord. But discern between distraction and what God is calling you to. Do not just give yourself to every wave when you are called out to launch out in the deep. Do you not know that the poor you will have with you always? But you will not have this opportunity to launch out in the deep always. And if you miss it, every wave you ride after this season's over, you're not going to have stability to take it. You will be living off waves instead of off the depths that form those waves and the eternal stability beneath them. The heights that move, the heavens that move the earth, and the eternal realities. And then this is your time to know him in the deep. Do not squander it. I feel like that's a warning from God for several people here. Do not squander it. I know that's from the Lord. You can waste your time and you will pay for it for the rest of your life, because you will not have that foundation of knowing him in the depths of being one. And it's going to affect your family. It's going to affect the ministry of your family. It's going to affect every place you serve the Lord, and you are going to have problems for the rest of your life in all the waves that you ride and all the things that you do for God, because you did not launch out into the deep and you did not get stable in the eternal Christ as your life. The poor you have with you always. There's always going to be endless needs and endless opportunities to pour out and minister. When it's your time to launch out in the deep, and God himself has ordained it, and he keeps calling you by name, calling you out, and you keep riding every little wave that hits the surface of the shore, you're going to be in trouble in years to come. You're going to pay a heavy price for not launching out right now. The Lord shared that with me while I was driving here. Don't miss the Lord. Do it for your family. Do it for all the lives that you'll be responsible for in the future, but do not miss the Lord right now. If you need to get off a few waves that God himself didn't ordain, you get off those waves and you get on your face before the throne. You do not waste this time. That's from the Lord. That's not from me. Okay? So, let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your call from the great depths of your Son. Holy Spirit, you cry out like a trumpet you sound. Who will come and launch out? Who will know me in the depths, in the sea, in my wonders therein? Who will find me? Who will risk it all to find me? Who will be determined not to stop until I take them in to this stable, eternal oneness from which all else proceeds? Lord, we say, let it be me, Lord. Stir up my heart, Lord. Stir up the Holy Spirit in us, Lord. May we not waste and squander our time on the poor that are with us always, but may we dedicate ourselves to redeem the time and know you and launch out. Father, you have many things planned for the people in this room, but you cannot fulfill those things in their lives if they are not faithful to the preparations you have for them now. Help them to hear your love, to hear your great fatherhood, to hear your great desire to form them and prepare them for that which you have and know is coming. Lord, you are an incredible Father. You're an incredible Shepherd, Jesus. Spirit, you're an incredible guide. My Lord, we have the very triune God guiding us in. We will not be abandoned. We will not be forsaken. If we fall, just like Peter, your arm will lift us up. We are not alone, but Lord, help us to redeem the time and to launch out in the way you have called for us to. And we just pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.